Welcome, welcome, welcome to the spoiler cast of VHS 85. I am GP, and with me is Big W, back in effect. Boom.
Let's get it.
Let's go. Listen, we did the previous, what was the previous one?
Was it 94 or something?
VHS 94.
Yeah, that's it. VHS 94. That was the last one we did.
That's the last one we did. Now we're doing 85.
We're going back in time, motherfucker.
Yes, we're going back in time to the 80s. And that's when I was born. Anyway, enough about that. You want to just talk about the story that revolves around them all? That's kind of like the main one, the interlude.
Yeah, we can do that.
That one is called Total Copy. Total Copy is like this 60 minutes documentary, right?
Yeah.
And it's focused on, they found this boy on a buoy or something like that. And it's supposed
to be like alien or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like a sentient being, supposedly.
Yeah.
And scientists are looking after him, and it's a documentary about that. And
it's weird though.
It's pretty weird.
And if you don't get it, you probably have to watch it twice to try to see what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. It's basically with dealing with him, and they trying to basically communicate with him and see if he respond back to different TV.
Well, remember they show him all the stuff that Earth has to provide. You know, they show him
right. They basically show him TV.
Yeah, he watching TV, but different stuff on TV like. Women doing yoga, dancing. Then they got birthday people celebrate birthdays. Yes, we.
Right. Yeah.
And he's adjusting to it, like a certain amount of time. He started, his figure started changing. So he started adjusting to what he's seeing on TV.
Yeah, that's we going too far into it. Basically, in the interlude to start the movie off, they have him isolated inside this, basically like a living room. And they put the TV in front of him, and he's just watching TV.
Yeah, with a sofa.
Yeah, learning about humanity, I guess. So then we hop into the first short, and that's called, is that called No Wake?
Oh, yeah, the first story.
Yeah, it's about seven friends.
They go on a camping trip.
Right, they go on a camping trip, and they go in that RV, and basically, you know, it's like, you know, 20-somethings, you know, having fun. Woo! Jet skiing and all that stuff. And
drinking beer.
Drinking beer. Dude, and all that. All that stuff.
I ain't gonna lie, I like that one. I like this one.
And with that one, I was thinking something was wrong with Homegirl.
You're talking about the one the cameraman, like?
Yeah, because like they were showing
her. What's her name?
I forgot her name. But they were showing her like she was like something was wrong with her because she was like, you know,
kind of
off from the other crew.
Yeah, like she was kind of like an outcast of the crew.
Right. With that one, man, it's weird because like they having all this fun, and then a sniper is just gunning them down. Well, first off, I'm sorry. They get in the water. They start having fun. Not everybody goes in the water.
Yeah.
Two out of the seven.
Three didn't get in the water.
Three didn't get in the water because he just hopped on a boat.
Yeah.
And two stayed on shore. It was a couple.
Yeah.
And the rest, you know, they was all jumping in the water and having fun. But anyway, they jet skiing, and then the snipers just start plow, plow. Start shooting them.
And the camera filming the whole thing.
And then miraculously, they wake up. Now, I was not as. This was the first one that surprised me because I'm trying to figure out how are they alive?
Yeah, me too. But I had to figure, once they come up, I had to figure they had to do something with their leg because remember they said, that sign said, do not get into the water.
Right. Science say do not get into water. And then
they still got in the water. So.
And then also that squirrel.
Oh, yeah. It disappeared.
The squirrel was like roadkill next to the lake. And then they saw it. And then they looked again and it was gone. So that that's another clue right there.
Yeah.
So basically they resurrected. So basically it ends with them trying to figure out who done it to them and how they get their revenge. That's how that first one ends. The second one is a God of Death. Oh,
the earthquake.
The earthquake. Oh man, this one starts off with a Mexican news crew is preparing a morning news on TV in Mexico 85.
And a cameraman
doing a broadcast. Yeah,
protagonist in this one.
During the broadcast, an earthquake happens where they had to get a rescue crew to come and get the whoever survived.
Yeah. Was it like four? Yeah, I think it was like four or five of them.
Yeah, it was like four or five of them. It's two, only two survived, really. But the rest was camera crew. And basically, the whole show is about them trying to get to safety, but this earthquake is just happening left and right, and they just keep getting trapped deeper, deeper down.
Yeah.
And somehow they awaken some kind of god of death.
Like a demon god.
Yeah, some kind of demon god way in the caves below.
Cause they real deep underground.
Right. And crazy stuff pop off after that. What you thought about that one? The overall.
It was it had a twist to it. The twist was the female that was one of the crews ended up being possessed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she sacrificed the camera. Because the cameraman thought he survived. She sacrificed him because she ended up killing him and taking his heart.
Right.
And she sacrificed him and then to rise the demon god. And she wanted to be his wife. So
I think she was just possessed though. Like,
yeah, it was because she got.
Because like the first dude, like, you know, he was standoff on the side, then he just started hitting himself with that
he had like a crowbar.
He started beating his chest with a crowbar, opening up his chest and stuff. It was disgusting. That was good. I like the comedy, the element of comedy. That was like when the dude was farting and the dude said, you do that one more time. That was funny.
He said I get nervous.
Right, and also the news reporter that was on the field.
She survived.
I'm saying, well, funny part was she was walking.
Oh, yo, in the beginning.
And doing her segment, and then she tripped and fall.
I like when she said the mediator came on trying to play. She said, excuse me, I'm trying to report. And then it was like some dude kept on walking back and forth.
Right. Yeah.
That was funny, too.
Dude, I actually thought that was one of the people from the first one walking through. I thought it was the cameraman. It wasn't though. I looked again, but like his hair looked the same.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But all the difference is one Hispanic and one is a white guy. So
yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to the next one. Well, in between also they looking, keeping tabs on Rory, and they still trying to communicate with him until he started mimicking.
Still studying him.
Yeah, he started mimicking people on TV. He started like shape-shifting into people on TV. And they think they making a breakthrough with that. After that one, we go into Techno God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It's a performance artist.
That was a crazy story.
A performance artist opens a show for a small audience in a theater. She explains that the world has killed God and replace him with God of Technology. She introduced a video demonstration of a virtual reality software device that allows the user to exist simultaneously on the physical and digital plane. He calls it, which is funny, iPhone. So she puts on the bodysuit and she puts on the iPhone technology and she's basically trying to call out this God in a digital realm. And she said, "Where are you? Show yourself," and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, next thing you know, that thing comes out of the digital world and start affecting her in the real world.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was disgusting.
People watching it on the screen.
Yeah, she's a performance artist, so there's an audience watching the whole thing.
And they have a cameraman recording the whole situation.
Right. That was weird, man. That was dope and weird. It reminds me of a Black Mirror episode.
Oh yeah, Black Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
What you thought about it? What you thought about it?
No, that's what I said. It reminds me of Black Mirror episode. It was cool. I liked it.
I'm talking about what you thought about the concept.
The concept was cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the fact that they giving you like the old Nintendo gloves and the old VR headset. It's like keeping that 80s feel throughout this whole
I ain't gonna lie, man.
Movie.
That first, when her leg, oh my God, that was nasty.
Yeah, the thing brutalized her. It just,
like it grabbed her, body slammed her.
Yeah, it's throwing all around. Scratching up, just, breaking bones.
She
did.
She tried to run or something, and he grabbed her, and then he just clawed her, like her whole flesh off.
Yeah, because she couldn't take off the technology. Was. Yeah, it wouldn't let her take it
but
off.
But in the real world, it showed it, and she just started screaming.
Right.
And then somehow she couldn't get the helmet off. Mm-hmm. It's like it had melted her head or something. Her skin was coming. Well, remember when they lifted up?
Yeah,
her skin was like stuck to the. That was gruesome. Yeah, that was gruesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going right back to Total Copy. Rory is now sprouting tentacles and with spikes, and now it's revealed that he is now possessing greater intelligence than humans would view them in the same way. Human scientists would regard animal life and worries that Rory might be an example of such a being. So basically, they find out that he's mimicking one of the scientists.
Oh, yeah, Gary.
Yeah, it's mimicking a guy named Gary. Now, Gary hasn't been inside the room that Rory's in, but somehow Rory can see through a two-ray mirror.
Yeah.
So Rory knows everyone's looking at him.
And then that one dude, he started getting obsessed with Rory too. He didn't want to go home.
Right. The head scientist is the one who he was super obsessed, man. Like, come on, man. You know something's wrong. Why would you keep on trying to communicate? We got to communicate him. It's working. We just got to keep on conducting these experiments. And everybody,
this is a brilliant, what do you say? This is a brilliant prize.
Discovery.
Yeah, a brilliant discovery. Yeah.
And it's basically some of the lead scientists thinks we should just nip this in the butt, close it down. But that scientist is relentless. So anyway, go ahead.
But they got into an argument. Well, remember when he started shifting with Gary?
Yeah.
And she said, I can't take this no more. I'm leaving. And she said, y'all should come with me. Well, remember, she was trying to.
And they didn't leave. They didn't go with her.
But she left.
Yeah.
After she seen what he can do, what Rory can do as his intelligence get, you know, smarter.
Yeah.
So she left.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I tried. She said, I don't know where they stayed, but I wish they would have left when I left.
Right. The next one is called Ambrosia. And it's about the Wrigley family is hosting a celebration in honor of their teenage daughter, Ruth, who films the occasion with her cousin, James. Ruth's young relative, Adam, shoots her with a water gun, which is revealed that it's a water gun that was from the first one. This one connects basically to No Wake.
Yep.
So basically, is this family function like a family reunion? Imagine your relative is filming a family reunion. Everybody's saying hey on camera and stuff like that, and it's just a gathering of families and stuff like that coming together. And sooner or later, you start to realize that something wrong with this family because it's basically a cult family. A family that celebrates that's what they call what they it's called the seven, right?
Yeah, you have to kill seven kids.
You have to kill each family member is inducted into the family by killing seven people, seven strangers, seven souls, and it's the 16-year-old's fifteen-year-old's birthday, but. She's getting inducted because she's showing herself. She's basically showing it like a football reel, like a highlight of her killing her seven people, which is the seven from the first short. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody watching is like, they all like, oh, every time she shoots someone. Oh, my God. And then she had a comedy
moment when she was like making faces and stuff in the camera.
Right. She's so intense into it. She's basically analyzing herself, killing these people. But anyway, all heck break loose because during the video, the police come. The police come and everybody said, the police, they're here. They know about us. So all the family members start gathering guns that was in hiding spots.
Uzis, AK-47,
all types of weapons, shotguns, pistols. pistols. Oh, getting ready.
Even the grandma had that AK-47. She started loading them up.
They literally lift the couch cushion up, and it's nothing but guns.
She said, we've been playing this. Be ready. Y'all know what to do.
Right.
Take as many as we can.
Yeah. And it's a whole shootout. So they start shooting.
That family was big. It was like, 12 of them? About 12, 15?
I think it was more than that. It was a big family.
I'm talking about on screen. They only showed 12. That was probably more than that. But
then again, they had more people, but people left because.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, people left. I guess they wasn't a part of it. They don't know about it. I guess certain family members is a part of it. But basically, there's a shootout. The 15-year-old gets shot up, but she miraculously get resurrected because one of the little kids gets the water gun from the people that drove by the RV. So the people from the first one knows where she at. And told the little boy to shoot up with the water gun. Because they
looked at the camera and got a license from the
license plate. Yeah, yeah. So that's how that connects to that. What's the next one?
That next one is the
Dream Kill.
Yeah, about the boy, the teenage boy.
Yeah, a home invasion is seen from the point of view of the killer. The woman inside.
That story started off kind of weird.
Yeah. The woman inside can be heard on the phone with a 911 operator. The killer eventually finds her and proceeds to tie her up and duct tape, slit her throat with a electric meat carver and slice her eyes open with a straight razor. It's gruesome. So basically,
that was a weird story.
It's weird because it was three murders that happened.
And they all connected.
It's showing the killer. It's like through the killer's eyes. It's showing him invading the home, going up the stairs, attacking the victim, and then killing the victim. But these tapes are coming in it's being sent to the police station three days or a few days before it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So basically, whoever's sending these tapes know beforehand what's going to happen and then send it to the police. So every time the police get a tape, they look at it, and then a few days later, a few moments later, it happens.
Yep.
So they have the detective trying to figure out what's going on. What's going on? And they have this the videographer. Both of them is on like investigation, trying to figure out what's going on. So they like, look, let's after three murders, they like, look, let's try to let's try to record the mailbox this person is sending the mail to.
Yeah.
And then they finally catch him on video.
Dropping the tape off.
And then they show him running from the police and they're attacking him. And then they don't attack him, they arrest him basically.
He wasn't running. He was jogging, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically they bring him in. And put him in interrogation, and it's a teenage boy, a gothic teenage boy, and they ask him questions, and come to find out, it's the videographer's son. So the detective's trying to figure out, how do you know about these killings? Where are you getting these tapes from?
And he said, I have a dream.
And it is as basically, they got this recording device, this camera.
Is it another room?
Right. And he been having dreams, but they're being like, it's basically like premonitions, and the premonitions are being recorded on the tape.
Yeah.
And he's sending the tape to the police station. So basically that one in crazy because it turned out that the father is the killer because of he been having sexual misconduct towards women. So that's what that goes with that. And basically it's a shootout with that one. That one was weird. That one could have been like the origin story of the VHS. You know what I'm saying? In a way, a little bit.
It could have.
Yeah. All right.
I like how the cop found out that when he found out the videographer was the serial killer, he said, because they were suing him and he killed the two witnesses, which was the two ladies, right, and he killed the attorney, which was the male. Mm-hmm. He threw that male up, bro. He killed him in the worst way.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that was gruesome. Also, the last one, too, the last woman, he took her whole, I don't
head off. He took her whole head off.
Yeah.
And then come to find out the sons, and he goes back to the office after he find the cop. After the cop confront him, he kills the cop.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back where his son at. He said, you knew this, not this is your fault. He tried to blame the son for him doing all the killing.
Right.
And then the son said, you're not gonna kill me. He said, say I won't. So he soon as he raised the, he said, look in the camera, the dream is playing right now. I just had a dream.
Yeah, I know how this is gonna end. Yeah,
he said, I know how this is gonna end. So the boy, the cop, the before the dad looks in the, he pulls the gun on his son, then a cop come out of nowhere, pow. Mm-hmm. So they get into a shootout. So he killed about 5 or 6 cops.
Yeah, in the hallway.
In the hallway. And then he slit somebody's throat. That was nasty. Ugh, that was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, his son come out, blow his head off, shot him in the head.
Yep.
Point blank. That's how it ended.
Mm-hmm. And then the last is the finish of the total copy. And it ends with it ends with the scientist that Rory been mimicking. They send Gary in to sedative to put him to sleep or something like that.
Nah, because they said he was sick, so they were trying to give him some energy.
They said
Bro, look like he's sick. He's not,
because he's morphing. He was morphing into.
He was just laying down.
Yeah,
and barely moving.
Right, because he was still mimicking Gary.
Yeah,
until Gary went up in there. Then Rory start moving around and start changing into this like this plant being. And then attacks Gary. So Gary is they trying to get Gary, pull up Gary out of the room, but Rory attached to his arm, then attached to his leg, and then start pulling his leg, squeezing his leg, and then blood everywhere. Yeah. And then they said, just let him go. And they let Gary go, and Gary slid right into the room. And then Rory started attacking everybody in the level.
He just went on a killing spree.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So, and then at the end, he killed all those people just to mimic all their dead bodies doing the exercise video movements. And that then that's how it goes on.
And that's how it ended.
That's how it ended, man. Man, overall, between the previous movies, what do you think about this one as far as like, was it less than, worse than, or better than some of them, or
what, all of VHS?
Yeah. All the previous ones, like let's compare it to 94.
I think 94 is better than this one.
You think 94 better?
Mm. But to me, on a scale of 10, I gave it like a 6.5.
Yeah.
Cause it was only really two that was really good that stood out. The one that connected to the Cole family and the girl killing all the people at the camp. I like that story.
Mm-hmm.
I like them two stories. I consider it as one because it's all connected. So I could have said it as one story.
Mm.
And the black girl doing the performance. I like that one.
Mm.
The other story, such and such. But I still give it a 6.5.
Yeah. I give it a 7. I give it a 7.5 because I did like the fact that I think this is one of the first ones where they actually connected two stories together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I like. That's why this stands out to the previous one. Yeah.
But overall, I still say out of all the VHS that I've seen, VHS 2 is the best one. That's number one in my book.
Two? Yeah. One still holds a spot.
One is good, but that scene that on two when they go to that school, oh man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that's a long scene too. That's a long story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was too long.
It was action packed.
Yeah.
Blood and guts everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's our spoiler cast of the movie.
VHS 85.
Check it out if you must, because it's still spooky. Spooky, man.
Oh, yeah, Halloween coming up. So it's a good movie to give to friends and family that's not scared of horror movies and check it out.
Yeah, check it out, peoples. All right. Well, we out.
Peace.
Peace.